now move to chapter 2, that is business at the base of the pyramid. In this chapter, we will learn briefly about the world economic pyramid and how to tap into the consumers in the base of pyramid sector of this market. We will also learn about ethical, responsible and profitable base of the pyramid business practices in healthcare. Finally, we will move on to businesses and how they can operate in this base of the pyramid markets. We will also see the contribution of Mr. C.K. Prahlad, who is considered to be one of the world's most influential business thinkers and has had a huge impact on business and business education around the world. So this then is the World Economic Pyramid. As you can see, it is a three-tiered structure, with the bottom of the base having the most population of 4 billion people. This we consider as the base of the pyramid. Next, we have the emerging markets with 2 billion people. And at the top, we have the mature markets with as low as 5 billion people. Now, if you see on the right, at the base of the pyramid, the people are earning the least. They earn as less as $3,000 per annum. In the emerging market sector, they earn between $2,000 to $20,000 per annum. And mature markets are where the influential or the rich people stay, with more than $20,000 per annum. We will be concentrating for our social business on the base of the pyramid market. As we can see, in this market, there are 4 billion people earning less than $3,000 per annum. And you'll be surprised to know that of these, nearly 2.7 billion people live on as less as $2.50 a day. If you come to India, this is even much lower. In India, in the urban areas, people at the base of the pyramid earn as low as INR 47 rupees per capita per day. And in the rural areas, it is about rupees 32 per capita per day. What is interesting though is that this base of the pyramid market, which currently has 4 billion people, is expected to grow to 6 billion people over the next 40 years. So although it is the poorest socio-economic group, it is also the largest group. How then do we tap into this base of pyramid market with our social enterprise? This is what we will learn on the subsequent slides. So let us now see how we will tap into the consumers at the base of pyramid market. As we saw on the earlier slide, according to World Bank projection, the base of pyramid market could grow to more than 6 billion people over the next 40 years. And this represents a multi-trillion dollar market. And therefore, this then becomes the strength of the base of pyramid market. And the companies that want to tap into this latent market will get immensely benefited, obviously, because they have a huge customer base. But what the companies will need to understand is that they have to strike a proper balance between profit creation for themselves and value creation for consumers at the base of pyramid. Because obviously, at the base of pyramid, the consumers do not have a huge purchasing power. And therefore, they will only buy those products which have value creation for them. To appeal to the base of pyramid demographic, companies must design products and services that are useful and affordable to the people. Obviously, again, because the people have very less purchasing power, and therefore they will spend their money only on those products which are useful to them, and at the same time they can afford to pay for them. For example, you have products like mosquito nets, water filters. Why products like these? Obviously, because the hygiene conditions are extremely poor at the base of pyramid market. And therefore, it is products like these which will really help the consumers and therefore create value for them. So you, as students, need to understand that value creation for BOP consumers is paramount and absolutely critical for the success of your business venture. Let us try to understand this with an example. A health store was running a malaria promotion activity, and they offered a discount on bed nets. They thought they had enough nets to last 2 months. That is, based on the consumers that they were targeting, they thought a certain number of people would buy the nets and therefore manufacture that number of nets and market it in the area. However, all these nets were sold out within a week itself. Forget 2 months or 1 month. Within 1 week, all these nets were sold out. In another health store, pre-promotion traffic was about 200 customers per month for these mosquito nets. That is, without any advertising or promotion, the company was able to sell about the company was able to sell these nets to about 200 customers per month. Later, they started a series of promotions, and what they realized was that from 200 customers, now nearly 1,000 customers per month were purchasing these nets, and this was steady and continuous. Let us take a third example. Hindustan Lever, I'm sure all of you know of this multinational in India. They developed a strategy of selling sachet packet soaps and shampoos and creams to the base of pyramid markets. And this was an excellent commendable solution for the base of pyramid solution because these sachets were sold in small convenient packs, and when they were launched, the price was as low as Rs. 1 per sachet. Today, the same sachets cost about Rs. 5 per sachet. However, that is still a very affordable price. This is the perfect example of understanding the consumer and giving the consumers what they want. That is, they do want the soaps and shampoos for their hygiene, but they cannot afford to pay for those huge bottles at one time. And therefore, you have the pipes at a price point which is perfectly affordable to the consumers. The size is also correct, as these consumers do not have enough storage facilities in their houses. So therefore, it is the same product which you give to any normal consumer, but it has been redesigned or repackaged for the base of pyramid consumers. So what do these three examples that we saw earlier show us or teach us? They teach us about tapping the base of pyramid market. What we saw in these examples tells us that low-income people not only have the ability, they also have the willingness to pay for health care and health products. Basic business practices which work for any other business also works in base of pyramid markets. So there is no distinction between the two. What is therefore needed is good training, marketing, and dedicated social entrepreneurs. And their business strategy must be geared towards development of those products and services which address the fundamental problems of poverty and sustainable development. The companies must be in dialogue with the BOP consumers to be in tune with local wants and needs. And they need to create value for BOP consumers even as they generate profits for themselves. We learnt about Yunus Muhammad in the earlier chapter. So if you want to take an example of the development of product and services addressing fundamental problems of poverty, Grameen Bank is the perfect example where he came up with the solution of giving microcredits to these people who were so impoverished that traditional banks would not give them loans. And therefore, just by giving them microcredits, he was able to bring them out of their poverty and lead to a transformation in their lives. Being in dialogue with BOP consumers and being in tune with their local wants and needs, we saw the example of Hindustan Lever, where they redesigned their packaging for shampoo bottles into shampoo sachets, which were convenient, easy, and affordable for the consumers at this base of pyramid market. I do hope this has made it easy for you to understand how one taps into the base of pyramid market. Now, let us see some more ways of tapping into the BOP market. That is, through a partnership between the NGOs and the corporates. Yes, you heard right. Partnership between NGOs and corporates. Is this possible or does it sound contrary? Because NGOs or non-profits, as we know, pursue social equity versus private companies who aim for only scale and profits. However, the NGOs and private companies can actually form a powerful alliance to promote their dual aims. NGOs or the non-profits, on one hand, can harness the entrepreneurial expertise of for-profit executives. And the private companies or the for-profit companies, on the other hand, can hire the expertise from NGOs to reach the BOP consumers. To make this concept clear, let us see some examples of good NGO corporate partnerships. Danone. I'm sure most of you must have heard of this multinational, which manufactures and markets FMCG products, and these products are dairy products. Now, Danone wanted to get into the marketing of their dairy products to the BOP markets, but they did not have the reach, or they did not know how to reach these consumers. And therefore, they formed a joint venture with Bangladesh's Grameen Bank. We have heard a lot about this bank in earlier chapters also. So Grameen Bank, as you know, has been founded by Yunus Muhammad to give microcredit facilities to the base of pyramid consumers. And therefore, they have the reach, they have the necessary information of reaching these base of pyramid consumers. So therefore, Danone got into a joint venture with Grameen Bank to manufacture and sell their products to the bottom of pyramid consumers. Of course, the products would have been suitably tweaked to make them affordable, accessible, and usable to the BOP consumers. In India, we have the example of Microsoft tying up with the NGO Pratham. Pratham is a leading NGO in the field of education, and therefore they have a huge reach across the country of the children at the BOP market. So therefore, Microsoft, together with NGO Pratham, deliver personal computers to the Indian villagers and their children. Another example in India we can see is of Intel, who along with two large Indian IT firms, Wipro and HCL Infosystems, have launched the community PC in partnership with other NGOs, to deliver personal computers in rural areas. We have many more such examples, not only in India, but across the world. Let us see a couple more, where Nestle has joined hands with health professionals and NGOs in Colombia, Peru, and the Philippines to deliver educational programs on nutrition and nutritionally fortified food products to the poor. So what we see is, the corporates capitalize on their strengths and the NGOs capitalize on their strengths. So in Nestle, it is an FMCG and its focus is on nutrition, giving healthy and nutritious product to the consumers, and therefore naturally they will tie up with NGOs to spread the knowledge of nutrition and also provide products in which they are specialized. One more example we can see is of Telenor company, which teamed up with Grameen Bank to sell cellular telephones to rural consumers. In Uganda, World Diagnostics Company sells its HIV, STD and malaria test kits through various NGOs operating in the healthcare networks. The SC Johnson Company. This company partners with youth groups in the Kiberia slums of Nairobi, Kenya, to create a community-based waste management and cleaning company. Hindustan Lever, we've already seen in India. It designs shampoo sachets which work for consumers at base of pyramid markets. Microcredit, we've already spoken about through Grameen Bank and Yunus Muhammad in earlier chapters and in this chapter itself, so I will not go over it again. Vestergaard, this is a good example. It's a healthcare technologies company and developed mosquito nets that release insecticides into the environment, a technology that has been used with great success at various African sites to combat malaria. So therefore, what do all these examples teach us? They tell us that by delivering innovative, technology-based solutions to the BOP, social entrepreneurs enhance the quality of life for the consumers at BOP. And often, or actually always, this means bringing low-cost, life-saving technologies to the people. And in all these examples, what we also saw, that we use the best of both worlds, that is, the expertise of the corporates and the reach of the not-for-profits. Together, they are creating solutions for consumers at base of pyramid markets. So students, you need to remember that running a social enterprise or a social project is no different from running any other business or any other project. And therefore, BOV projects should be treated the same way as treating a core business. The projects or the business should be driven as rigorously and as laser focused on meeting the numbers as companies would do with traditional markets. That is, all BOP projects must have their own AOP, their business plan, their strategy. The performance of this should be measured weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, just like you do for any other business project. Secondly, what you need to remember that businesses will need a huge amount of patience and the willingness to look beyond traditional short-term metrics of profits. Because social impact takes time and it could have a 6 to 10 year time frame period. For the outcomes can be easy. For example, if you are in the field of education, your outcomes would be the number of students who are getting educated through your social enterprise. And that can be measured very easily and the outcomes could be great. It could be 1,000 children, 2,000 children, 10,000 children being, getting education within 1 year, 2 years or 3 years. But what is the impact of this in their lives? That is, are they really getting good education? Are they moving on to senior schools? Are they then moving on to colleges? And are their lifestyles improving? Is the community developing as a whole? That is the social impact, and that takes time. So therefore, as social entrepreneurs, you need to remember that social impact takes time and has a long waiting period. A minimum waiting period for a good impact would be, let's say, 6 to 10 years. Thirdly, social entrepreneurs need to work closely with the communities. You need to adjust your business model to the local context and understand the financial needs and abilities of the customers. You need to be close to the business of operations. That is, one cannot run a village business from a Mumbai or a metro office with just a standalone cell in the field. Let's take an example of rural areas where primary healthcare facilities are not available. And therefore, as a solution, you come up with a mobile health van and you want to run the mobile health van in, let's say, 15-20 districts of a state. To make sure that these mobile health vans are running efficiently and to closely monitor and evaluate its progress and success, the headquarter location should be in one of those villages itself or in the nearest district. It definitely cannot be in one of the metro cities and then you expect the mobile health van to do well for the consumers. So keep this in mind that you need to be close to the business and its operations. Businesses that most successfully serve BOP markets constantly adapt their products to meet consumer preferences. We have already seen this in the example of Hindustan Lever, who developed sachets to make them affordable for the consumers of BOP markets. Another good example would be the Lehen range of products, which have been developed by PepsiCo in India under the leadership of Indra Nui. And this comes under their Project Asha, which has been geared specially for consumers at the BOP markets. Next, you need to give the consumers the freedom and respect to make their own purchasing decisions. And it is extremely necessary at BOP markets to take the risk away from the consumer. I can give you an example here, again of Grameen Bank, where we saw that Yunus Mohammed started the process of giving microcredits to the poorest of poor. But what was most remarkable was that he did away with collateral. That is, if you want to take a loan from any traditional bank, you need to give a collateral. But Yunus Mohammed believed that it is the people at the base of the pyramid or the poorest of the poor who do not have the collateral and therefore they are the ones who actually need the loans. and he was convinced that these people will definitely give back the loans because that is the only respect that is now available to them. And he proved it so by making Grameen Bank a huge success. So he took away the risk from the consumers, that is, they did not have to give any collateral whilst taking the microcredit loan. Another example would be Greenway Grameen, the Indian social enterprise selling cookstuffs and which stands out for improving the health, saving people's money and providing a product that the consumers really want and need. Let us now move on to the contribution of C.K. Prahlad. C.K. Prahlad is one of the world's most influential business thinkers and has had a huge impact on business and business education around the world. He created the base of pyramid idea. So all that we learned about in this chapter so far, that is at the base of pyramid, this concept has been created by C.K. Prahlad and he changed the way the world viewed India's economic potential. What did C.K. Prahlad say? He says that if we stop thinking of the poor as victims or burden and instead start recognizing them as resilient and creative entrepreneurs and value-conscious customers, a whole new world of opportunity will open up. C.K. Prahlad suggests that 4 billion people can be the engine of the next round of global trade and prosperity and can be a source of innovations. He talks about this in his book, The Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid, which he has co-authored with Stuart L. Hart, and he talks about the business opportunity in serving the bottom of the pyramid. He goes on to explain that the BOP pyramid consists of 4 billion people. And for more than 50 years, the World Bank, donor nations, various aid agencies, national governments, etc., all did their best, but they were unable to eradicate poverty. And therefore, he suggested that we should look at these consumers as resilient and creative entrepreneurs and value-conscious customers, and not treat them as victims of burden. This will develop a whole new world of opportunity to open up. He said that serving the base of pyramid customers requires that large firms will need to work collaboratively with civil society organizations and local governments. We saw an example in the earlier chapter of partnership between the NGOs and the corporates to create value products for the consumers and BOP markets. This is just an extension of that. That is the NGOs, the corporates, and the government and large institutions come together to collaborate and create large-scale value for the BOP customers. And what will happen? Market development at the BOP will create millions of new entrepreneurs at the grassroots level. And this then will bring out this whole base from their vicious circle of poverty. C.K. Prahlad also provides the following building blocks for creating products and services for BOP markets. He focuses on quantum jumps in price performance, blending old and new technology and creating hybrid solutions, scalable and transportable operations across countries, cultures and languages, and creating eco-friendly products. He also says that one must redesign the products from the beginning, marginal changes won't work. So again, if we come back to the same example of PepsiCo where we saw the Asha project bringing out a new range of Leher prawn biscuits which are nutritionally fortified and these are specially created for the consumers at BOP markets. They did not make any marginal changes in an existing product. Instead, they created a whole new product for their BOP consumers. You will also need to build logistical and manufacturing infrastructure. Next, you will need to educate the consumers because these consumers will need to be aware of the products which are specially provided for them. And they do not have access to the traditional media channels like maybe the TVs or the radios because they may be living in those places where these facilities are not available. So you will need to find ways and means of educating these customers and building awareness in them. C.K. Prahlad also says that your products must work in hostile environments. As we know, ways of pyramid market will not have the ideal environments which the mature markets will have, and therefore they have conditions like noise, dust, abuse, electric blackouts, unsanitary conditions, water pollution. So your products will definitely be, should be resilient enough to work in all these conditions. Dear students, do not get deterred by these so-called obstacles of the BOP markets, because there are many strengths in these BOP markets, and C.K. Prahlad has laid out these also. It is a very viable market. There is money in the BOP market. And why do we say that? We saw in the earlier example of the mosquito nets, where a product which was useful, affordable, and had value to the consumers definitely had a market. And therefore, because of the huge customer base, it is definitely a very valuable, very viable market, provided you give products which are of value to the BOP consumers. Also, access to this BOP market is not very difficult, because the BOP market is also connected like your other consumers. They have access to mobile phones, the TV, the internet, and they are also very much open towards advanced technology. So therefore, BOP markets must become an integral part of the work and of the core business of the private sector. It should not be created, it should not be treated separately now. A business or a social business, all must work together to create value for consumers at the BOP market. With this, we come to an end of the chapter, that is the base of pyramid market. I do hope, students, that after listening to the explanation and the PPT slides, you have a very clear idea and understanding of the BOP markets and the consumers there. Thank you.